commitment and take a little deeper look into the commitment that we have with Christ and what he has done in our life. So praise God, praise God. Praise God. So let's start by opening up with prayer. Father God, we just love you this morning. We're grateful, as always, for that love that you pour out for us, Lord, every day, Lord. That every day we can look up and see a blue sky. We can see a bird in the air. We can look at the mountains. There's lots of things that you've given us that are just natural ways to show how much you love and care for us, Lord. But I know that every day in the minute details that we can look at the things that you've done in our life to get us to this point. We can look at what you're doing on that particular day. And even though things may seem like a struggle at times, Lord, that you have not left us, that you're right there with us, and that, Lord, your favor, your blessing, and your love is still abundant even in those moments, even as it was for Christ on the cross. Father, we love you. If we look forward to your word this morning, pray you open it up to let our hearts be receptive to receive the things that you want to show us this morning out of your word about our commitment and our relationship that we have with you and your Son, and through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So the word commitment, I think I spelled it right. Commitment. It's one of the biggest and scariest and often most avoided words on the planet. Okay, people tend to avoid commitment. Maybe not just that word but things associated with it. It is considered a promise. And it's kind of a promise with a contract, whether it be verbal or written. Commitment can be, I'll talk about some of the different kinds of it. It's meant to be, a commitment is meant to be a binding agreement. It's something that I commit to. I'll give you an example. Some of you know I've been working for UPS for several years, and as a trainer, a driver trainer, one of the things we do is we take them, I go out for rides with the guys, and we have 340 methods that our drivers must follow to be safe and efficient and effective at what they do. And so you figure 340 of them, if you go on a ride with a guy, you're going to find some that he's not doing exactly the way that we trained him to do. And so we write them down and we mark them as something that they need to improve on. And so then at the end of the ride, I sit down with them and I go through these methods with them. And I say, man, you did great at this, you did great at this, you did great at this. Here's one that I'd like you to work on and need you to make sure whatever it is. You come to a complete stop at stop signs. Or, you know, something like that, a safety-related one is what we focus on. And so I go through and I do that, and then down at the bottom of the page, it has a line, and has a title and then a bunch of lines, and it says Service Provider Commitment. And what we do is they have to physically write on there their commitment about what they're going to do about the things that I pointed out up above that they will improve on. And so if I said, you know, you need to make sure you come to a complete stop at stop signs, They need to write, I will come to a complete stop at stop signs. It's a commitment that we're expecting them to make. And we don't allow words like try or work on. Okay, you can't try to stop at stop signs. Either you do it or you don't. Okay, there's the commitment. Okay, and now that ends up being a legally binding agreement between them and us. Okay, between them as an employee and their employer, it's a legally binding, we can take it to court and use that kind of stuff. It is a commitment that they are making. And so a commitment can be that sort of a binding commitment. At the core of a commitment is the insinuation of trust. Okay, it means that I trust that this person is going to do that, and you know they have whatever enlisted me to do something for them or asked me to do something, and they can trust me to do that for them. So there's the insinuation of trust. It often involves a verbal vow of predefined intentions. And failure to follow through on those intentions has been known to hinder, prevent, or dissolve trust. Okay, if I commit to something and then I don't do it, then it dissolves a little bit of that trust, or it can. A sincere commitment followed through on, though, does just the opposite. It expresses dependability. Okay, somebody that keeps commitments. Man, there's certain people that I just know that if I set up a time to meet with them, they're going to be there 10 minutes early, or they're going to be there right on time, or whatever it is. There's people that are so dependable in that way. If somebody consistently maintains their commitments, it breeds a confidence in that person. There's somebody that I'm more likely to rely on, or somebody that I know that I can count on them because they maintain their commitments. If they say it, they do it. They're a man or woman of their word. Even when the going gets tough, they're still going to keep their commitment. Okay, they're a man or woman of integrity. They still do it in that way. A commitment is often avoided by many because of the self-sacrifice that may go along with it, that may go along with maintaining your commitment. I'll give you an example. If someone commits to buying a house, okay, they are committing to, what, 15 or a 30-year mortgage that they're now going to pay, right? There's a commitment that goes along with that. There's something that they're going to have to maybe sacrifice something in their life. Likewise, marriage also involves a lifetime pledge of allegiance. It involves a lifetime obligation and loyalty and duty. A true commitment will take determination and resilience, and it may involve a willingness, and oftentimes it does, a willingness to give up something in order to have what they're committing to. Okay? And an example of that in the example I already used, but let's say you're buying a house, a $2,000 mortgage every month may mean that you're not able to go buy a new pair of shoes every week. It may mean that trip that you had to the Bahamas, you may have to put that off because now you need that money for your down payment, or you're going to apply it to something else, or you got to pay your insurance, or whatever it may be. And so it may change. You may have to be willing to sacrifice something to have something else. Okay, it's just kind of the way it works. Jesus talked a lot about commitment. Paul and John and Peter, other guys also talked about the element of dying to self in order to have more of Christ. Okay, it was a commitment that they were making. They talked about the dying to self that was required to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about it in this way. I'll give you a passage out of John chapter 10, starting with verse 14. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Here's his commitment. He's laying down his life for the sheep. "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold," verse 16, "and them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Jesus expressed that what he did on our behalf was a conscious effort on his part. It was a decision. Nobody made him do that. Nobody made him do anything. He made the choice to lay down his life for us, and he committed to that. Now, you're going to have many opportunities in your life to either commit or fail to commit. Okay? Either we're going to say that, yes, I'm going to do this, or we're going to fail to commit to that. We're not going to actually make it a binding agreement, whether verbal or not. We're simply not going to step into that. Some people don't do that. You ever meet, maybe you guys know somebody like this, but you're trying to get them narrowed down on a time to get together or something simple like that. It's like, "Oh, let's go out to dinner." "Okay, you know, where do you like to eat?" "Oh, I don't know. Where do you like to eat?" "And, you know, what time do you want to meet?" "I don't know. What time do you want to meet?" And no matter what you're saying, they're not willing to commit to an actual time. And so you end up parting ways, saying, "Yeah, we'll get together sometime." Okay? It happens every day, you know, in some people's lives, and mine as well. But sometimes people don't commit to that. And so there's that another opportunity for us to do that. The Peter that we read about in the Bible, he found that it was much easier to commit and to say it with your mouth when things were going good. Okay, when everything was well and fine, and he was able to make a commitment to Jesus, he was willing and able to do that because it was easier then than it would be to maintain that commitment and to stick to it when he was truly faced with the situation right in the heat of the battle. And I'll give you that example out of John chapter 13, starting in verse 36. Here's Peter. "Simon Peter says unto Jesus, says, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him and said, Where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Here's commitment. "I will lay down my life for your sake." 38 says, Jesus answered him and says, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. Okay, now you guys know the rest of this story. You know how it kind of plays out, right? Peter ends up within a short time denying not just being a Christian, but denying that he even knew Jesus three times. And then the cock crows and Peter goes off and he weeps because he's sad. He's sorry that he had done that. Didn't want to do that. So you got to know how it plays out. What many people don't realize, though, about that story about Peter, we know that, yeah, he denied the Lord three times. Jesus said he was going to do it, and then he went and did it. What people don't realize is that between that time, from the time that Jesus said that that would happen and the time that it did happen, between that time, Peter actually did stand up with Jesus and actually did put his life on the line. He actually did step up and say, no, I do believe and I'm willing to die for my faith in Jesus. When Judas had betrayed Jesus, you remember the story, Judas had betrayed Jesus, and the officers of the high priest came with Judas, and they brought their swords and their lanterns, and they were going to capture Jesus. Peter actually then drew his sword and cut off the servant's ear. You guys remember that story? Okay, this is right when they're coming to get Jesus. He's going to be taken away. Let's read it. John 18, starting in verse 3. Judas, then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, he cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, he went forth and he said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward, and they fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered and said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these, the other disciples, go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. That happened between the time that Jesus said, you're going to, you know, Peter said, I will die for you, Lord. Jesus says, are you sure? You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Between that time and now, and when he actually did deny him, that's when this scene takes place. So Jesus and knew about it, knew it was going to happen, but Peter did have an opportunity to stand up in the middle of this. There was no shortage of devotion on Peter's part. We're talking about being committed to Christ. Peter was committed to Christ. He really, truly believed that he would die for Jesus. His loyalty was right there on the surface. And he knew as soon as those men, as soon as he knew that they were there to take his Lord away, he steps up and draws his sword. He's going to put his life in jeopardy to protect his Lord and his master, his friend that was with him. There is no doubt that he was committed to Jesus. So what happened? What happened between this moment when Peter's drawing a sword and going to step up and fight for Jesus? What happened between that time and the time when he is then denying Jesus and saying that, no, I never even knew the man. I don't even know who he is. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a believer. What happened in between there? The short answer is that Peter and Jesus were physically separated. Okay? Peter was walking right with Jesus. He had him arm in arm, hand in hand. When Jesus went places, he took Peter with him. When Peter went places, it was only because Jesus was there. You know what I mean? He was right with Jesus all the time. In this scene, the soldiers came and took Jesus away. The disciples, along with Peter, all scattered in different places, but Peter followed along behind Jesus. And when they took Jesus in, you remember the scene, if you've ever read that whole story, but you remember Peter kind of stood on the outskirts and watched as they beat Jesus and watched as they mocked him and did all this stuff. And so he was within earshot and eyeshot of Jesus, but he was physically apart from him. They were separated to a certain extent. Just like you and I, Peter now had to believe what Jesus had told him by faith. He had to actually believe and remember and recall the words of Jesus. He had to think about, what did Jesus tell me was going to happen? Because Jesus already told him, I'm going to be taken away, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to raise from the dead the third day. Jesus had already told him all that stuff, but it hadn't really sunk in yet with Peter. It was a little slow to hearing on that part of it. Okay, so now he has to believe by faith the words that Jesus had told him. Jesus had been telling him that all these things were going to happen. Jesus told him that he would not always be with him. Jesus told him that he was going to be taken away and crucified, and that he would raise again the third day. So often today, Christians struggle in the same way that Peter did, because we can't physically see Jesus all the time, and we have to physically or actually believe by faith the words that Christ has spoken to us through his word. And so sometimes when the trials come up or the trials of life come our way, then we start thinking something's wrong, that something's out of line, or, you know, maybe God doesn't love me, maybe God has forsaken me, maybe I've been such a bad person that God just can't help me today, that God can't love me today. But we have to remember all the words that Jesus said. He didn't tell us that every day was going to be peachy. He didn't tell you that. Okay? He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he told you to expect to be persecuted. He told you that there is an expectation that when you're living your life for Christ, that people are not always going to like it. You're going to run into people as a believer and as a Christian where people just won't like you. They don't know why. They just don't like you. But it's Christ in you that they are seeing. It's Christ in you that they don't like. It stirs up something inside of them. It stirs up that spiritual forces that are at work that we know are operating in everybody's life. And it stirs that up to the point that they can't like you. We need to know that. We need to know that even though Peter stumbled, okay, like we read, Peter was devoted, he draws his sword, and then before the cock crows, that means a few hours later, he was denying Jesus. Said, I don't even know the man. Never met him. That's what he's saying. A few hours later. Okay. But even though he stumbled, even though he did that, he went and he repented. He cried. He said, Lord, he didn't tell the Lord, but he went and cried. The Bible says he wept bitterly. Okay. That means he meant it. Peter's faith and commitment was then rekindled towards the Lord. Once he had recalled the teachings of what his master Jesus had told him, once he remembered later on after Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and then Jesus came and spoke to them for, 40 days, and many times he was seen by these guys, and then he said, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, and then the Holy Spirit comes on him. From that moment on, his eyes were beginning to open to the words that his master had told him. The same as it is for us. When we read, sometimes we don't understand it, just like Peter. He didn't understand everything Jesus was trying to get across to him, but he knew that, I'm just going to keep following after Jesus. And sometimes that's what we have to do. I don't understand every passage that's in the scriptures. I don't get them all. It hasn't been revealed to me yet, but I still believe on Jesus. I put my faith in him. I am committed to him no matter what. And that's what Peter was doing. And then, in time, the Holy Spirit was given to empower them and to reveal unto them the ways of God. And their eyes began to be opened more and more and more. The same for you and I. The Holy Spirit will open our eyes more and more to receive and understand what's in the Scriptures. And we begin to be quickened or made alive. And we begin to receive what it is that He has for us and what He's telling us through the Word. Peter's commitment was rekindled. He began to remember all the things that God had done. And he went on, if you know Peter's life, to lead thousands of people unto Jesus Christ. One of the greatest evangelists of his day. Leading people unto Jesus mainly because he was so committed, so devoted to Jesus that nothing else mattered. He would stand up in a crowd of furious people and say, men and brethren, here's what you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though that's what they were upset about, was people preaching that. And so he continued to get that message across, and he led thousands of people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter took beatings and imprisonments and eventually lost his life because he would not falter on his commitment to Christ. He had spoken the words to Jesus that he said, I will follow you wherever you go. I will lay down my life for you. And he recalled his commitment and he revived his passion for Jesus and for the things of God. Many of the people in this room, many of you have spoken similar words to Jesus Christ. Many of you have said, Lord, I give you my life. Right? Did anybody say that? I said it. God bless you. Many of you have said, Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me clean of all my sin, and I will follow you and serve you all the days of my life. Did anybody say something like that? That's a commitment that we have made to Him. I remember the prayer pretty vividly of when I gave my life to Christ, a little assembly in Redfield, South Dakota, and my friend had told me if I went to church, they would do this altar call, and they did, and so I stood up, you know, and my friend finally nudged me in the ribs to get me to take that step forward, and I walked to the front of the church, and they prayed with me, but I remember the prayer that the pastor asked me to lead, and it was, Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that I have sinned against you. I invite you into my heart. Wash me clean, cleanse me, and lead me, and I will serve you all the days of my life. I said those exact words to Jesus. I made that commitment, kind of like Peter had said, Lord, I will lay my life down for you. And he was able to recall that commitment later on in his life. Even though he had stumbled here and there and faltered a little bit, he got to that point where he said, I remember my commitment, that I will lay down my life for Jesus. And that's where he went with his life. That's what happened with his life. Has anybody in here committed your life to Christ? Has anybody said, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. I give me my life. You know, heads are nodding. I believe you have. Have you continued on with that sort of a self-sacrifice? Because I don't know about you guys, but when I made that statement, when I committed to Christ, it wasn't just a passing, fleeting thing. It wasn't something that I was just saying, you know, that day and then the next day nothing was changed. I meant it. And I went home, I went to the grocery store, and I told some lady at the grocery store, or the convenience store, and I said, hey, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. She said, good for you. You know, she didn't know what it meant, but I felt like I needed to tell somebody. And then I went the next day and called my mom and dad and said, Mom, Dad, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I called my brother. I said, Mike, I just accepted Jesus. Nobody knew what it meant. For them, they thought it was going to be some fleeting thing, some passing thing that was just going to come and go, that great, maybe Gary will finally get off drugs and alcohol. You know, it's probably what my parents thought. And so it was a commitment that I had made to Him. And I knew, and I want that to be a strong commitment, not just then, but now in my life. Think about your life. Think about if you've been caught up in the cares and pleasures of this life. If you have strayed at all from keeping your commitment and your contract that you went into with God. When you said, come into my life, I will serve you. You will be my Lord. You are be my master. I will follow you. When we said that and made that commitment, have we stuck to that? Jesus spoke some pretty straightforward things to express the level of commitment that he expected from us. It's all in, right? He wants an all-in commitment. He doesn't want us riding the fence. Luke 14, verse 26, says, if any man come after me and hateth not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Obviously, he's not talking about hanging yourself on a cross. He's talking about a full commitment. He wants you to be willing to forsake all for him. It's all in. That's what Jesus requires. That's what he calls for. He goes on then to convey the determination, the forethought, the follow-through that it takes and that is involved in our walk with Jesus. Our walk with God and our commitment to Him is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something that we just do and then forget about it, live our life however we want, just go to church on Sundays. That's not what it's about. Jesus wanted an all-in commitment. Luke 14:28, right after this, He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. And all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but he was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he will send an ambassador and desire conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has cannot be my disciple. You know, at one time you were willing to lay your life down for Christ. At one time in your life, if you're a believer today, maybe there's some that haven't done this yet, but if you're a believer, at one time in your life, you were willing to say, Lord, I give it to you. I give you my everything. I lay my life down. I've told you for years, I've had this saying written in the back of my Bible that says, I lay down my life, I take up my cross, and I follow you. It says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am totally dependent on God. I lay down my life today and take up the cross. I am truly hungry for God. And I repeated it daily, daily, daily for years to say and make that, reaffirm that commitment that I had made with God. At one time, you were willing to put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Is that commitment still the same today as it was when you first made it? Has anything changed? Has your words changed that, well, Lord, I guess I take that back. I'm really not going to call you my Lord and Savior. I don't think anybody's done that. We still have that same commitment today. Do you at times evaluate your level of commitment to God? Are you finishing what you started, in other words? As he gave the example, what man would try to start building something but then not finish it? We want to make sure that we are finishing what we started with Jesus. Or was your commitment just a short-term mortgage? Was it just a trial marriage? You know, using the examples we talked about earlier. What kind of a commitment are we making with God, or did we make with him? It's not something we want to just try for a while and see if we like it. Not something we just want to see if it's going to meet our needs. It's something that we did. We made that commitment. As I finish this up, let me tell you that Jesus said that he and his kingdom are of such value that it is absolutely worth giving up everything to obtain and to have his kingdom. Matthew 13:44. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hid in a field, which when a man has found, he hides it. And for joy thereof, or so that he can obtain it, he goes and sells all that he has so that he can buy that field with that treasure. Again, the next couple verses, 45 and 46, says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man that seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought that one pearl. That's what we did when we committed to Christ. We gave up everything and said, Lord, I don't care. I give you everything to go after you, to have you as my Lord and my Savior, to receive all that you have for me. At one time in your life, you were willing to lay it all down for Jesus. He was seen to be of such value that no matter what direction that he took you, no matter what he wanted from you, no matter how far he wanted you to go on his behalf, you were willing to do that. I want to encourage you today to renew your commitment to Christ. If he has slipped down a little bit off of that, the ranks of the most important and most valuable thing in your life, if he has slipped down from that in any way, decide right now what the cost is going to be to reestablish or to reengage that commitment with him. You may have to rearrange things in your life so that he can have his rightful place on the highest of thrones in your life. God will reveal to you even what that will look like. The Apostle Paul said it in Philippians 3:14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect or mature be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, maybe it means that you shut the TV off a little bit earlier at night so you can get up a little bit earlier in the morning and have some quiet time with God. Maybe it's time for a devotion that we spend, you know, reading or spend a little time with God at breakfast. Maybe that's just a little commitment that we're going to make. Maybe it's committing to a 1-minute prayer every night before we go to bed. You know, that's not too long. You know, you won't fall asleep in 1 minute, probably. Maybe two. But we can have that time where we'll at least spend that amount of time. You know, that's a pretty small commitment. Maybe there's some changes for some people that are more life-changing, more of a major life event, a life change that will change something that will help you in your relationship with God. Maybe there's something that's holding you back, something that is in your way that, you know what, as long as I got this in my life, there's no way that I'm going to be able to go forward with my commitment to allowing Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Master, to following after Him with everything I've got. Think about your life. Think about those things. Some of you know I'm making life change things in my life as well, in my employment, outside of the church, and that kind of stuff, because I want more time with God. I have to have it. I am obsessed with Jesus Christ. I have to have more of Him. And so I'm making some changes to be able to make that happen. I praise God for that opportunity to be able to do those things, but I pray for the people in here. And right now I want to pray for you, and I want to see if you found anything in your life, if there's some things where you think, you know what, I really do want to make some changes. I really do want to recommit my life to God. You know, I know this isn't evangelism 101. You guys know about giving your life to Christ, but maybe there's some that have already given it, but maybe now is the day. Maybe today's that day that God is speaking to you saying, you know what, I'm really not walking with God as strong as I want to be. I'm not where I need to be or want to be. And today's the day. Today's the day that you can make some changes. If that's you, I just want you to, let's close your eyes before the Lord. And if that's you this morning, if you're in a position where you're thinking, you know what, I haven't been there. I haven't been walking with God like I want to. I know down inside that God has more for me. I know that God has great things for my life. I know and believe that, but I haven't been receiving it because I'm not been willing to let go of certain things or to go a certain place or direction or to do what God is calling me to do. If that's you today, then just raise your hand to God. Just say, you know what, Father, that's me. I truly believe that you have more for me and that I can commit more to you, and I choose to make that commitment right here, right now. Not I will, not I might try, but I truly do that right here and right now. I give you my life. I give you my entire being. I give you my finances. I give you my health. I give you my emotions. I give you every part of my life. I give you my relationships. I give you my employment. I give you my possessions. I give you my family. I give you everything. And I'm willing to put that on you and to give it unto you, that you may have your will and your way in my life. Praise God. Father, we praise you this morning. Father, I pray for this room of people, Father. I pray for the people in this ministry, Lord, that you will stir up our hearts with that passion and a desire, a devotion to you like never before. That no matter where we go, whether it's our work or the school or the church or the grocery store or wherever it is, Lord, that you will be our strongest devotion, that our commitment to you will not falter. We will not stray to the right or to the left, but we will go forward in Jesus' name. We will bring glory to you through the life that you live through us. We dedicate and commit our entire being unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.